following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about cataracts or contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, you can give us a call. Our phone number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and, of course, answer your questions. If you can't call in today, maybe you're feeling a little on the shy side, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com, looking for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. We're also on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center, so go to facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center and find out the latest goings-on at your favorite eye center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lundblad. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. We usually like to start out the program talking about some of the things that have come up in the office over the past week since the last time I was sitting here in this broadcast chair. And one of the things that people do ask about on a consistent basis is, what can I do in my lifestyle and my diet to make my eyes more healthy? So I think probably the most common question, the most common thought is there something I can eat? Is there some kind of food I can eat or something I can do that might be eye healthy? So I can go over some of the latest information about what may be eye healthy. And there are really a couple parts of the eye that nutrition seems to play a role. So first of all, when it comes to the health of the surface of the eye, the surface of our eye needs to be bathed in a nice layer of moisture. That's called the tear film, and the tear film is that thin layer that coats the surface of the eye, and if that tear film is intact and healthy, then our vision tends to be good, and the eyes tend to be comfortable. If that tear film becomes irregular or is not hanging around as well or is evaporating too quickly, that causes some blurring of the vision and some discomfort of the eyes, and we consider that a condition known as ocular surface disease, more commonly known as dry eye syndrome, but dry eye syndrome is a little bit of a poor description because it actually has to do with the health of the tear film, not always dry, but sometimes just composed of the wrong stuff. And so one of the things that composes the tear film is oil. Oil from the tear glands or from the oil glands that are along the base of our eyelids allow the surface of the eye, the tear film on the surface of the eye, to spread more evenly or more smoothly over the surface of the eye and prevent it from evaporating as quickly. And so when the oil that's being secreted into the tear film is not adequate for what the surface of the eye needs, then the eye becomes uncomfortable and intermittent blurring is not uncommon. So proper oil on the tear film is important. Now, the oil that is in our bodies, that our bodies make, that our bodies actually need in order to produce the proper oils for our skin, for our tears, for our hair, or other things that where oil is secreted in our bodies, requires certain building blocks for that oil. And the building blocks for the oil come to us through our diet. And so the types of things that we need to get the proper oils in our body involve two different types of oils that we take in our diet that we can't manufacture by ourselves inside the bodies without taking it in externally. One of them is called omega-3 fatty acids, and one of them is called omega-6 fatty acids. The omega-6 fatty acids are present all over the place in our diet, and so there's no problem getting enough of that. As a matter of fact, we probably get too much of that. But omega-3 fatty acids are not very common in the diet. They're found in fish oil. So in oily fish like salmon or mackerel or other types of oily fish, not fish packed in oil like tuna fish packed in oil, but oil from the fish itself. So salmon, which is a more oily kind of a fish, is rich in fish oil. And fish oil contains these omega-3 fatty acids, as does several plant sources. Nuts, particularly walnuts, are a rich source of omega-3 fatty acids, as are flax seeds. And flax seed oil is actually a supplement that's available that contains these omega-3 fatty acids. And so omega-3 fatty acids help to maintain a healthy tear film. So if you eat fish in your diet and you eat nuts and that containing those omega-3 fatty acids, that may help a little bit with the health of the surface of the eye. What other parts of the eye? Well, the lens of the eye as we get older gets cloudy. That's called a cataract. Cataracts tend to be caused by a number of factors. Ultraviolet light can contribute to cataracts. But also other types of what we call oxidative stress to the lens of the eye, whether it's cigarette smoke, air pollution, car exhaust, other types of oxidative stress can cause cataracts to become worse. And certain antioxidant vitamins seem to help to reduce the formation of cataracts over time. In particular, vitamin C and vitamin E have been shown to prevent or reduce the progression of cataracts over time. And so eating foods that contain vitamin C, like citrus fruits and other vitamin C-containing foods, and foods that contain vitamin E, seem to, like fruits and vegetables, seem to be helpful in perhaps reducing the progression of cataracts over time. So there's two things that you can do in your diet to help improve eye health: eating more of the omega-3 fatty acids and eating more antioxidant-type vitamins or nutrient foods containing these nutrients. And then the third level of evidence about diet and how it affects the eyes involves the macula, the part of the eye responsible for the sharpest, clearest vision in the back of the eye. The retina, which is the sensitive nerve tissue inside the eye, has a central portion of that retina called the macula, which is what gives us our sharpest, clearest central vision. And there is evidence that antioxidant vitamins of various types, including lutein and zeaxanthin and several other antioxidant nutrients, seem to be helpful in maintaining the health of the macula. And so that means that eating fresh fruits and green leafy vegetables like spinach and kale and other types of greens, choy sum and bok choy and some of these other greens, seem to contain nutrients that are eye healthy in general. So that's a little bit about what you can do with your diet to maintain eye health. And there actually was a recent article that talked about some laboratory experiments that looked at whether the omega-3 fatty acids also might be helpful in the macula. It says here, oil age-related vision loss could be prevented by fish oil. It says an omega-3 fatty acid found in fish, known as DHA, prevented age-related vision loss in lab tests, demonstrates recently published medical research from the University of Alberta in Canada. It says the researcher in this program and his team discovered lab animals, fed DHA did not accumulate a toxic molecule at the back of the eye. The toxin normally builds up in the retina with age and causes vision loss. He says this discovery could result in a very broad therapeutic use. And he says in normal aging, this toxin increases twofold as we age. But in lab tests, there is no increase in the toxin whatsoever. This has never been demonstrated before. that supplementing the diet with DHA could make this kind of difference. So the team recently started another study looking at people who have age-related macular degeneration, a condition that results in loss of central vision and the main cause of blindness in those over age 50. The researchers will look for DNA markers in the blood study patients. They want to determine if certain genetic markers respond better to increasing amounts of DHA in the diet, and if so, why. So it doesn't give a lot of specifics in this article about exactly what they were looking for in the back of the eye and how they treated it and what types of laboratory animals they used to test this, but it does show that there may be a link between macular degeneration or between health of the back of the eye and the essential fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids. So that's good to know. We're going to talk about some more eye news, and of course we'll take your calls coming back after we come back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years.
All right, you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora, and we're talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call here at the radio studio. Saturday morning, we broadcast live from the downtown studios of KHVH Radio, AM 830. And the program is rebroadcast in the evenings, on Saturday evenings. And we do, of course, also have the radio programs that have already been broadcast. We have available on the website, HawaiianEye.com. You can go and click on the radio button on the top left and find a whole list of recent radio programs and listen to us more if you like, even skip around if you want. If you subscribe to the podcast each week, you'll get an updated podcast of our radio program with a summary of some of the things that we are talking about, so you can figure out if it's something that you want to listen to this week. All right, we said we'd talk, we were talking about diet and the eyes, how diet might be able to benefit the eyes. So let's talk a little bit more about some lifestyle issues, what kinds of things in our lifestyle might be beneficial to the eyes. And I did find a list here that says, it's from a journal that the section is entitled Preventative Medicine in Ophthalmology, and it says what you can do to improve your ocular health. Okay, so number one on the list, it says stop smoking. It says nicotine is even more addictive than heroin or crack cocaine. Many people who try to quit just become dependent upon nicotine substitutes in the form of gums and patches. Go to a reputable stop smoking program in your community or hospital for true success. So stop smoking. Smoking has been implicated in the development and progression of macular degeneration, of cataracts, and of in the worsening of dry eye symptoms. So smoking definitely can have negative eye health issues. says number two on the list of what you can do to improve your ocular health, eat more fruits and vegetables. It says ideally 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. The phytochemicals and antioxidants will protect against cataracts, macular degeneration, and perhaps even cancer. Number three, reduce or eliminate meat and dairy products. They are loaded with cholesterol, fat, and known cancer-inducing agents. Further, they're totally fiber-deficient. And by the way, chicken has as much or more cholesterol per serving than red meat. Okay, well, I'm not sure that I agree entirely with eliminating meat from the diet, but I think that increasing the amount of fiber and high-nutrient foods is definitely a good idea, so you can reduce the amount of meat and increase the amount of green stuff on your plate. It says avoid refined foods, as most people consume way too much refined food in the food in the form of cakes, pastries, ice cream, etc. This applies pretty much to anything in a crinkly bag or a can. These foods are calorie dense and nutrient poor, as well as being chock full of salt. The mantra is eat whole foods, eat foods as grown. Okay. Omega-3 fatty acids are helpful. We were talking about that in the first segment of the program. It says here, most doctors recommend fish oil capsules or ingesting fish. However, virtually no fish products are mercury-free. Mercury is toxic to the macula. Instead, consume flaxseed oil. Even better, eat flaxseed meal or chia seeds to get the extra phytochemicals present in the natural product. Number six, eat a low-fat diet. Cut your oil, fat, and grease intake in half. Animal fats in particular increase the risk of obesity and vascular disease. Fat from all sources increases the risk for age-related macular degeneration. Okay, here we go. Number seven in your list of what you can do to improve your ocular health, according to the section Preventative Medicine and Ophthalmology here in this ophthalmology journal, says eat a diet that is low in sugar and refined foods containing sugar. A typical container of soda contains 10 to 12 teaspoons of sugar. These drinks spike your serum glucose levels and contribute to chronic disease. Eat unrefined complex carbohydrates such as whole multigrain bread, whole wheat spaghetti, oatmeal, other cereal grains, beans, brown rice, etc. Avoid caffeine. It says it can cause a rise in eye pressure that's linked to glaucoma. Drink between 8 and 10 cups of water each day for optimal health. That's actually an interesting one. Caffeine, we saw an article in one of the recent radio programs that said actually that caffeine might have a benefit in dry eye symptoms. So that's kind of interesting. All right, before we go on to more eye health tips, let's go to the phones. We've got Julian standing by on Leeward Oahu. Hi, Julian. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question. I just recently had my cataract on one eye removed. And the doctor said that, which it hardly happens, but I could have like a retinal detachment. And I was wondering, well, what's retinal detachment, and how do you know you have a retinal detachment?
Okay, well, the first thing is that having a cataract surgery is one of the safer procedures that that we do in medicine today, but that there always is a risk of complications or problems as a result of surgery, and there are quite a number of them, but you must have heard him talk about specifically this concept of retinal detachment. Perhaps you're very nearsighted, so he talked more about, or he or she talked more about that particular problem. Retinal detachment means that the retina, the thin nerve tissue in the back of the eye, becomes separated or detached from the underlying tissue, causing damage to that nerve tissue and leading to vision loss. If a retinal detachment occurs, generally most people notice symptoms of spots in their vision or flashing lights in their vision, or notice a loss of the peripheral vision, side vision, like there's a blank area in your side vision, your peripheral vision. Those would be early signs of a retinal detachment. A sudden loss of central vision could be retinal detachment as well, but that would usually be in a more advanced stage. So new onset of floating spots in your vision, flashing lights that aren't really there, or any kind of shadow or cloudiness in your peripheral vision would be things that should get you in to see the doctor again very promptly.
One more question. My eyes get itchy once in a while. Is there like over the counter? My doctor told me, I forgot the name. What medicine can I use for my eyes over the counter for itchy eyes?
Well, there are a lot of different over-the-counter preparations. Usually, not knowing exactly what's going on in your eyes, I would just say try an artificial tears, any kind of moisture drop or lubricating drop, not the ones that are designed for redness or, you know, itching or anything, just a moisture drop. And then if that's not helping, then ask your doctor about other things that you might recommend and have them write it down for you.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay. Have a good day. All right. So the complications associated with cataract surgery are rare, but there are a few of them. And as part of the process for talking to patients about having surgery, we need to give patients what we call informed consent. And that means we need to tell them about all the possible things that could be done instead of surgery and all the potential things that could go wrong at the time of surgery and the potential benefits that they could gain from having surgery. And in most cases, the benefits far outweigh the risks for cataract surgery. Most people who have cataract removed end up seeing significantly better after the procedure, often with less dependence on eyeglasses, sometimes with no need for eyeglasses if we do some enhancements to the cataract procedure to try to reduce the need for eyeglasses. And we do need to, though, mention or discuss what types of things could go wrong as the eye heals or with the procedure itself, which, since we're dealing with a human body and not a machine, there's always that risk that something could happen that might not be fixable or treatable, or that might require additional treatment in some way. And so human tissues heal all a little bit differently. Everyone's a little different. Some people have diabetes, a little slower to heal. Some people heal very quickly. Some people have more inflammation in their eyes after surgery. Some people have, you know, different types of experiences. And so since everyone's a little bit different, and so there's no perfect reproducible outcome, there always is a little variability, and that's one of the things that we talk about before surgery when we're informing our patients about what to expect as a result of having a procedure done or a surgery done. You know, sometimes, because medicine does do such wonderful things nowadays, sometimes people are lulled into a sort of a sense that we can, you know, do anything and that the results are going to be perfect. And many times they are excellent. The results are excellent. And particularly with cataract surgery, we have some extremely happy patients that are so thrilled that they had their cataracts treated. But there are those rare cases in which something may happen that is not expected or not anticipated. And so you need to understand that because human tissue is variable, and it may depend on age, it may depend on the health of the overall body, it may depend on a number of different factors, that it's not always 100% that things end up exactly the way we anticipate. So the goal of most types of eye surgery is to improve the overall situation, and eye care, ophthalmology in general, is something that we actually can take a targeted approach and deal with most types of things that affect the eyes. But there still are things that we have very little control over, that we have very little treatment for. So as ophthalmologists, as eye specialists, we do generally direct our approach toward trying to treat whatever the symptom or the problem is with the eyes. Oftentimes we can make a significant difference if it's a vision loss and we're trying to restore the vision, or if there's a condition that's progressing, we're trying to stabilize it or prevent it from getting worse or progressing, then we usually do a pretty good job at most of those things. We'll have to talk a little bit more at some point about what we can and can't do in medicine. But I want to get back to this article that I was reading from just a minute ago about what you can do to improve your eye ocular health. And so let's see, let's get into the next several ones here that they recommend here. It says exercise and lose weight to feel good. Get into a routine of exercise program on a daily basis. Exercise reduces your risk for hypertension and helps with weight loss. Minimum is 30 minutes three times a week. For weight loss, double that amount. The best exercise, just walking. No gym fees, no expensive equipment, no extra excuses allowed, as almost everyone can walk. Remember, there is no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. That's interesting. You just wear the right clothing and the weather's not bad anymore. Well, I don't know. Here in Hawaii, I guess that's true. But I suppose that there are parts of the country where if it had just snowed 3 feet, you probably wouldn't want to be out walking through that. Might be tough going. It says avoid vitamin supplements by eating whole foods. A diet rich in green leafy vegetables and a variety of fruits will deliver all the needed vitamins and minerals needed for optimal health. Antioxidant supplements can help, but are no substitute for a healthy diet. Let's see, limit salt intake is the last one they have here. It says approximately 80% of the salt in your diet comes from eating refined foods and food from restaurants. Half a can of canned soup can deliver 50% of the daily allowance of sodium. Canned vegetables can also be extremely high in sodium. American food is bathed in salt, but with some simple guidelines, you can learn to recognize sodium disguised as food and make intelligent dietary choices. Okay, interesting. Some of the things that they choose to focus on how to enhance your eye health. Okay, we're going to take a break to listen to the news. We'll be right back and take your calls coming up next.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 74 degrees, mostly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. That massive wildfire in southwestern New Mexico continues to rage out of control with 354 square miles now left as a charred aftermath. With just 15% of the blaze contained, the prospects for effectively battling the fire don't look good for the 1,200 firefighters on the scene, and more dry conditions with wind gusts of up to 30 miles an hour are predicted. Embattled Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker is putting on a final weekend campaign push ahead of his recall vote on Tuesday. Polls show he's in a tight race with Democratic challenger Tom Barrett. Some voters didn't seem to recognize Walker as he handed out yogurt and applesauce at an annual county dairy breakfast outside of Evansville today. Police are investigating a fatal accident as a possible hit-and-run case. It happened at about 2:30 a.m. on Kahikili Highway. A man was apparently struck while walking along the highway. There was no vehicle around when police arrived. They closed the highway in both directions between Ahuimanu and Hui'iwa streets while they conducted their investigation. A Maui couple charged with second-degree murder in the death of the man's 4-year-old son will be in Maui Circuit Court Tuesday. 32-year-old Kyle McKeon and his 27-year-old girlfriend Grace Lee Nakamoto told police Zion McKeon injured his forehead after falling in the shower. The boy died of blunt trauma to his internal organs. They said they didn't know how the other injuries to the boy's abdomen happened. Fire destroyed a 6-bedroom house in Honolulu yesterday. No injuries, but the home was a total loss with damages estimated at $500,000. Firefighters were called just before 11 a.m. They extinguished it a short time later. Mostly sunny, breezy, high in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 71. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and currently 74 degrees.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Oh,
And you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're here every Saturday morning talking about eyes. So tune in if you want to check out past programs. If you've liked what you've been hearing and you're finding it interesting, you want to learn a little bit more about eyes, check out our website, HawaiianEye.com. And we do have previous radio broadcasts available on the website, or you can subscribe to our podcast and get the radio shows a week or so after their broadcast. We're going to talk about some more eye news this morning here, and I have an interesting article here about myopia and the fact that it may help to protect people against diabetic vision loss. That's interesting. Myopia means that myopia is the medical term for nearsighted. Nearsighted means that your vision is focused such that you can see things up close okay, but often the distance is blurry unless you wear glasses. Glasses bring things into better focus in the distance in people who are myopic or nearsighted. So the fact that when you're myopic, when you're nearsighted, it's generally because the eye itself, the length of the eye is longer than the average, and the length of the eye is generally something that is determined from birth. But if the eye is longer than usual, the light is not focused properly on the back of the eye, and glasses are required to bring that into focus for distance vision. So it says here, the longer axial length, the longer length of the eye of myopia, appears protective against diabetic retinopathy and diabetic macular edema, according to results from a longitudinal study involving 630 eyes. In an article published online May 23rd in the journal Ophthalmology, Ryan Ian Kidman, from the Centre for Eye Research Australia, Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, University of Melbourne, analyzed measurements of axial length, spherical refraction, corneal curvature, and depth of the front of the eye, the anterior chamber depth, against the presence and severity of retinopathy and diagnosed diabetic macular edema in 367 adults aged 18 years or older with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. The retinopathy was graded from two photographs that were taken of the back of the eye, and the macular edema also from photographs confirmed with a laser scan of the back of the eye. The research team found that eyes with longer lengths were less likely to have mild or moderate or severe diabetic retinopathy. The results also showed a decreased risk for mild, moderate, and severe diabetic macular edema, which is a manifestation of the diabetic retinopathy. The doctor says these findings suggest that an axial elongation or lengthening of the eye, not changes in the refractive component, may contribute most to the protective relationship of nearsightedness with diabetic retinopathy demonstrated in earlier studies, according to the authors. The study provides strong support for well-known clinical observations in earlier studies, which have seen a protective effect of myopia, nearsightedness, on retinopathy from diabetes, without pinpointing just what component of nearsightedness made the difference. This clinical observation has been around for more than 30 years, but no one's really pursued it before. According to a doctor commenting on this study, the strength here is that this uses real data from a large number of patients. He says the size of the study and the fact that it was prospective rather than retrospective further bolsters the finding. Okay, so that's kind of an interesting idea, is that if you're a little bit more nearsighted, you may be less likely to develop diabetic eye disease if you have diabetes. Now, diabetes is one of those conditions that can cause certainly trouble or damage to the eyes. And over time, if you have diabetes, the longer you've had it, the more likely it is to cause damage to the eyes or retinopathy. Retinopathy is the abnormal changes in the blood vessels in the back of the eyes in people who have diabetes. And because diabetes affects many of the blood vessels in the body, it also affects other areas besides the eyes, including kidneys and the hands and feet, what we call the extremities. But in the eyes, diabetes causes increase in porousness of the blood vessels, so fluid and protein leak out of these blood vessels and into the retina tissue, which causes damage to that retina tissue. And the abnormal blood vessel formation in diabetes can become worse and can cause blood vessels that might bleed or cause other problems that damage the eye and the retina. So if you have diabetes, you should be getting your eyes checked about once a year. And interesting to know that being more nearsighted may help protect against diabetic retinopathy, but not a reason for not going in to get your eyes checked. Every year with diabetes, should be getting your eyes checked more frequently if the doctor has noticed some kind of problems or changes in the back of the eye that need to be treated. Okay. Next article here, we have an article from the Yahoo Finance pages, and it says healthcare costs could rise 7.5% in 2013, according to a report. It says here the cost of healthcare services is expected to rise 7.5% in 2013, more than three times the projected rates for inflation and economic growth, according to an industry research report released on Thursday. But premiums for large employer-sponsored healthcare plans could increase by only 5.5% as a result of company wellness programs and a growing trend toward plans that impose higher insurance costs on workers, said the report by professional services from PricewaterhouseCoopers. The projected growth rate of 7.5% for overall healthcare costs contrasts with expectations for growth of 2.4% in gross domestic product and 2.0% rise in consumer prices during the year 2013, according to the latest Reuters economic survey. Healthcare costs have long been known to outstrip economic growth and inflation rates, driving up government spending on programs such as Medicare and Medicaid at a time when federal policymakers and lawmakers are wrangling over how to trim the budget deficit trim $1 trillion a year out of the budget deficit. But PricewaterhouseCoopers Health Research Institute, which bases research on input from health plan actuaries, industry leaders, analyst reports, and employer surveys, says data for the past 3 years suggest an extended slowdown in healthcare inflation from earlier decades when annual costs rose by double digits. So, in fact, 7.5% is less than the increase that we'd seen in previous years. It says we're in the early beginnings of a shift toward consumerism in healthcare, and we think that you'll see more of that in the coming months and years, said one of the directors of Health Institutes, the Health Institute of PricewaterhouseCoopers. It says more than half of the 1,400 employers surveyed by the firm are considering increasing their employer share of health benefit costs and expanding health and wellness programs in 2013. The health plans with higher deductibles and co-pays for workers tend to dissuade unnecessary purchases and offer lower premium costs for employers, while successful wellness programs can reduce the need for medical services. The report said prospects for higher growth are also being held back by the consolidation of hospitals and physicians' practices, insurance industry pressure on hospital expenses, a growing variety of primary care options such as workplace and retail health clinics, price transparency, and the increasing use of generic drugs. Upward pressure on healthcare costs comes in part from a rebounding economy and the growth of new medical technologies, including robotic surgery and the nuclear medicine imaging technique known as positron emission tomography. So PricewaterhouseCoopers' projection of 7.5% growth is nearly double a 3.9% rise in healthcare spending that the federal government says occurred in 2010, the last year for which official figures are available. Well, that's it's interesting. Mixed news, I guess. Healthcare costs, the rise in healthcare costs are likely to be less, the rise is likely to be less than it was in previous years, but it is still likely to be significant, outstripping inflation and economic growth by almost three times. So what does that mean? Well, it means that our healthcare in this country is continuing to become more and more expensive and is continuing to become more of a drain on the resources of our government and our people. And employers here in Hawaii, those of you who run businesses know that we're required here in Hawaii to provide health care for our employees. And as a result, as the costs of health care rise, health care insurance rises, that increases our cost of doing business and increases the overhead. And, of course, the costs of the services and goods that we provide have to then be increased in order to support the increasing cost that it costs us to provide those services or deliver those services or products. So in the healthcare industry, the rates that physicians are paid and that hospitals are paid have been increasing much more slowly than the rate at which healthcare costs have been rising. So there are other reasons that healthcare costs have been going up. You know, our payments to physicians have been going up by 1%, or less per year over the past 4 or 5 years, and yet healthcare costs have been spiraling up by, you know, 4, 5, 7, 8%, depending what numbers you look at, 10% even per year. And so why is that? Well, it seems to be that there are more services being utilized and more people are taking advantage of more different technologies. And as these technologies continue to grow and are very expensive, that also increases the risk of the rate of healthcare. So I think what we really need to look at is making sure that we utilize technology appropriately and don't overutilize the technology that we have. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll get to some more eye news. And if you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like to ask a question, now's a good time to give us a call. We'll take your call over the break and then talk to you afterwards at 521-8383. That's the number to call. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
All right, welcome back to the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. Since this is the last segment, this is also your last chance to give us a call. If you have a question, 521-8383 will get you here to the studio. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, we've got a toll-free number. It's 1-888-565-8383, and we'd like to hear what you'd like to talk about, and if you have any questions about eyes, has your someone in your family had a recent eye problem? Have you had something that you have a question about as well? Let's go back to some eye news stories here. We have an interesting story here about some nice technology, people playing with technology to try to improve the lot of people who have limited vision. It says here, researchers at Universidad Carlos III in Madrid have developed a system that can be built into virtual reality goggles that help patients with moderate visual impairment move around their surroundings. The application detects the distance and shape of objects and interacts with the user by means of a simple color code. It says people with moderate visual impairment, particularly those who have difficulty perceiving the full extent of their surroundings, could use the new ingenious devices that these UC3M scientists have created. This device is aimed at people who would bump into everything that they fail to see because of their loss of visual field caused by glaucoma, retinal pathologies, etc., said the head of the project, Professor Ricardo Vergas of Universidad Carlos III, or the Third in Madrid, their electronics technology department. Says the prototype was developed using a head-mounted display device, a virtual reality helmet that includes two cameras to which a small computer has been attached. The computer processes the images that it receives, and thanks to an algorithm that the researchers have developed, the system determines the distance and outline of the objects and communicates the information to the user in real time using two micro screens, highlighting the silhouette of the elements in the scene and varying the colors according to their distance. It detects objects and people who move within the field that a person with no visual pathologies would have. So in other words, it kind of creates an area that you'd normally see if you had normal vision, and then in that area that you could normally see, it gives you some cues about what's actually going on in that area. So it says that, very often the patient does not detect them due to problems of contrast. So the information regarding depth is what is most missed by patients who use this type of technical aid. So sometimes if your depth perception is way off, then this type of visual aid may be helpful. So if you say, hey, there's a chair in my way, but I can't tell if it's like right in front of me or a few feet away, then this is the type of thing that helps with this color coding depth perception thing. It says, currently the invention is being tested using intelligent goggles in collaboration with the Instituto de Oftalmología Aplicada, Institute for Applied Ophthalmology in Madrid, at the Universidad de Valladolid, where the clinical tests are being carried out with a view to the device's validation and applicability. After testing the device on a representative sample of population of patients who could use it, the researchers will inform them of the final result at the end of the year, and that will allow them to evaluate the success and validity of its performance and then improve it. The final objective is to improve the ergonomics of the device so the user doesn't feel inconvenience in wearing the goggles while carrying the lightweight electronic mechanism, which could actually fit in a pocket. So it's interesting because trying to tailor modern technology to help people who have certain specific types of problems that can be benefited from perhaps a technological improvement. So that kind of brings me to the subject of what we call low vision. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how in medicine today we're really able to correct a lot of problems in eye care. We really direct a lot of our efforts as ophthalmologists, as eye specialists. We direct our efforts at trying to treat or cure vision problems so that people's vision is restored. But there are, unfortunately, a number of types of situations in which we can't really do anything to improve the vision, and people end up with limited vision in one eye or in both eyes. And when that happens, people have to learn to adjust to the limited vision they have, because there's not a whole lot of prospect for trying to improve the vision. And it can be very discouraging and depressing for patients who have lost good functional vision to have to deal with the fact that their vision now is limited and it's harder for them to do the things they need to do. Now, there are many, many people who get by in this country and throughout the world with very limited vision or no vision whatsoever, and they manage to get by using other types of tools in order to compensate for their lack of vision. And so for people who newly lose or suffer significantly reduced vision, they need to learn to use some of these types of tools, whether it's utilizing other senses or utilizing external tools or devices to help them to compensate for limited vision. So in many cases, people aren't, you know, you might think about when someone says, I'm blind, you might think about an idea that they see nothing. You know, they can't see light and dark. They can't see any shapes or shadows or anything at all. But in fact, there's a large range of visual impairment, and some people have loss of their peripheral vision. Other people have loss of central vision. Some people have loss of overall vision. Some people are completely blacked out where they don't see light or dark or anything else. So there is like walking around in the dark with your eyes closed. But again, in all of these cases, there may be things that can be done to enhance the functioning with less dependence on the vision. And so one way of addressing this is by trying to enhance the little bit of vision that you have. So, for example, if someone has loss of central vision due to macular degeneration or other problems, sometimes by getting a really large image, you can get that image off the central part of the eye, the central part of the macula, which is damaged by the disease, by the macular degeneration. And you can get, if the image is large enough, get people to see it with their peripheral retina. Now, the peripheral retina isn't as sensitive as the central part of the retina, so it's not ideal, but if you can get a really large image, sometimes that is helpful. So using things as simple as iPhones to try to use the camera to take picture of a page that you're trying to read or increase the font size can certainly make a difference in terms of magnification and getting bigger images. Also, using cameras that are hooked up to LCD screens, display screens, in order to be able to read the page on a magazine or page on a book, you can enlarge the print so large or quite large on a large screen LCD TV. And that way you get a much larger image of the print and it allows people to read, whereas they might not be able to read regular print, a regular sized newspaper or magazine print, even large size, they may not be able to read. But with the enlargement of a camera and an LCD screen, they are able to do that. Other types of visual aids for people whose vision is limited include things that allow you to do things by touch that you would normally do by vision. For example, when you're writing checks, this is something that people often need to do to maintain independence. And you know, if you can't tell where you have to write the name of the payee, the amount, and all that stuff on a check, then you know, it's very hard for you to take care of your own finances. Of course, you know, a lot of people pay things online now, and you could try a larger font. But if you need to write traditional checks, there are sort of templates that you can put on top of a check in a checkbook. And the templates have little gaps in them. It covers all of the spaces of where you don't write on the check, and then it leaves a little gap where you do write. And so you feel the one on the top, that's where the date goes. You feel the next one down, that's where the payee goes. And then you write within those guides in order to be able to actually, you know, come up with a reasonable-looking check that where everything is in the right place and things are written, you know, along a straight line and so forth, because you have these guides to show you where to do it, even if you have no vision or very limited vision at that point. There are other types of devices like this, for example, audible switches for your stove. So you can hear when the stove is turned on versus when it's turned off. Or you can feel various elements of that, or if you have little marks, little raised marks on the little knobs that turn your stove on and off, or your burners on and off on your stove. And so there are a number of different devices available. So if you are suffering from limited vision and you're not sure what to do next to try to improve your ability to function, talk to your doctor about low vision, about whether they might be able to refer you to a low vision specialist to get to be able to better enhance the vision that you do have. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun. I hope you have too. I'd like to thank MJ and Mike for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to thank all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, or you can tweet us on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. And you can find out about some of the specials that we're doing, as well as see interesting information about what's going on with the Hawaiian Eye Center family. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Glenn Beck.
Sending you a message.
Weekdays at 4.
It's all going to be good.
KHVH Honolulu.
I'm here.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.